This is Time and Change, a three-part podcast celebrating 50 years of co-ed undergraduate singing at Yale. The second wave of women undergraduates arrived at Yale in the fall of 1970, and during that academic year, the Glee Club became a true mixed chorus. In part three of this podcast, people associated with the Glee Club talk about how alumni thinking, repertoire, and the nature of the ensemble have all evolved over the past 50 years. The first speakers are Patricia Williams, class of 1973, then Ellen Marshall and Bob Bonds, both class of 1971.
That tour that summer to Europe was really a big, big watershed for the Glee Club because we left as the Yale Glee Club, the Yale Women's Chorus, and then a combined group, Fenno, called the Yale Chamber Chorus. So as not to rattle, I think, the old Yale alums that we stayed with around Europe. But by the time we got back, he was determined that the Yale Glee Club was now a fully coeducational thing. And while that might not have mattered to anyone that wasn't into singing, it was a really big deal to old Yale alums and particularly alums of the Glee Club. It was really a revolution. And many of them were very unhappy about it, but Fenno held firm. In junior year,
we take our ease. The first year I was at Yale, when I was a junior, 1969 to 70, the women's chorus was a separate organization, and I was elected president of it.
After we'd come back from Europe, and the Glee Club felt much more like an SATB organization, we finally had a concert in which the name of the Yale Women's Chorus did not appear. And one way that Ellen Marshall, who was president of the Yale Women's Chorus, and I felt that we could get the Glee Club to feel like a coeducational organization was to stop having two presidents. So we just agreed one day that we would just be co-presidents.
The saddest tale we have to tell. Oh, hero, hero, row, row, is when we bid old Yale farewell.
And I was always grateful to Bob for treating me as a co-equal and insisting that I be a co-president for that year.
I don't recall that we ever cleared this with Fenno or asked his permission. We simply did it. We started listing ourselves on programs that way. And I think that also was one small step for co-education in the Glee Club.
My name is Cherry Westerman. When I was admitted to Yale, my name was Cherry Whitcomb. And I was admitted with a class of 73, first class of freshman women. Some of the music was still TTBB arrangements. And so the women just sang one of those other parts, either as written or an octave higher, whatever we could muster.
The pieces that Fenno had arranged and taught to the Glee Club were only, of course, TTBB. I think he was resistant to compromising or sacrificing the TTBB sound. And I understood that. We were patient. We were willing to wait.
Mark Alberta, class of 1972. I sang in the Glee Club junior and senior year. We went through a huge amount of activity, rescoring and rearranging all these Yale songs for SATB. To this day, if you look in the Yale songbook, you'll see Bob Bonds, class of 71, as the arranger of Bright College Years.
One way you could see that Fenno was reluctant in adapting to the SATB world that he knew was in the future was that we couldn't get him to come up with an SATB arrangement of Bright College Years. When the women started singing with the Glee Club, we were still using the TTBB arrangement, and the women just had to kind of slot themselves in wherever they could. By the beginning of my senior year in 1970, it was beginning to feel like a political issue. If you really want to welcome the women to campus and to the Glee Club, let's have an SATB arrangement. And everybody assumed that Fenno would come up with one. As president, I kept gently pushing him throughout the year. Fenno, have you had a chance to do the SATB arrangement yet? No, I've been busy. I just haven't been able to do it. And one day in the spring of 1971, he still hadn't done it. And I guess I pushed him a little too hard. And he snapped at me and he said, well, I just don't have time. If you want to do it, you do it. So I went back to my room at Berklee College and did an SATB arrangement. It wasn't that difficult. The first time it was performed, I just felt relieved because I felt like the women were part of the group in a way that we had not acknowledged previously. I don't think it ever crossed my mind that they would still be using that arrangement 50 years later.
Linus Travers, class of 1958.
When I look back on the difference between the music we did and the music that the Glee Club does now as an SATB chorus, I would imagine that Fenno exulted in the opening of the door to hundreds of works that the Yale Glee Club newly constituted could perform.
I always say that the male chorus has and had a sound, an inimitable sound of richness and power and bass sonority. Whereas the mixed chorus had the literature.
It opened up a whole new world of repertoire, exciting repertoire. We didn't have to make all of these elaborate preparations to sing a joint concert with the Smith Choir or something. We could do it ourselves.
All the Bach motets and the Brahms motets. Hindemith wrote the six chansons, six songs, for a chorus in a little village choir, he told me. All of these things were applicable only to the mixed chorus.
Glee Club conductor Fenno Heath and his daughter Sarah Heath, class of 1973.
I think he saw it as a tremendous opportunity to do the repertoire he hadn't been able to already do. In his mind, he heard harmonies and chords as maybe an instrumental thing and then put it into vocal music. He loved words so much that he really wanted voices to express those words, those meanings, and the Glee Club became his instrument. I think he just felt there were many more beautiful colors to use and choose from once he had the women. He never, ever wrote the words to anything, and he was against it. He loved poetry, and he would often be sitting quietly with a book of poetry and studying and thinking what text he was going to use. Dylan Thomas's Fern Hill is just really something.
Clearly, by the time he had enough women to work with that he could build the Glee Club back up to its quality that it had before as an all-male ensemble, he was very much on board with the idea of having women's voices in his pieces.
My name is Sarah Mead. I was known as Sally Mead. I came in as class of 76, but I graduated in 75. I was really impressed with Fenno. He was a product of the all-male Glee Club, and he loved it, and he had written so many arrangements for it. But he supported us and he stuck up for us. and he rewrote his arrangements to include us and never made us feel left out.
We quickly, within a year, I think, got to be quite as good as the men and had some really strong singers and got some of the solos and so forth.
That Fenno got tons of pushback. He did come home many times upset about some friend calling, someone from the Bartholomew days maybe, or people that were in his male glee club from earlier times, who were very upset. They were older men, they cherished their experience, and the male Yale glee club was really something to hear. Rich and beautiful, warm and powerful, wonderful.
My name is Sam Weissman. I was the class of 1969. Obviously, you know, everything changes, and it would be kind of weird for there to be a Yale Glee Club in a co-ed institution and not have women. But I think from a musical point of view, there is integrity in the all-male sound, just as there is integrity in the co-ed sound and integrity in the all-female sound. So for me, I'm conflicted about it becoming a gender or sociological issue. Feels like, well, you can't have this male glee club sound anymore because it's sexist. And I really don't know how I feel about that.
Dad was upset because he didn't want to disappoint people and because he believed in what he was doing, but he couldn't really prove it for a while to people who were already deciding they didn't want to hear it. There would be men that would say, but we don't like the sound of women's voices. It's harsh, it's high.
I think the Yale Glee Club back in the day was sort of something to trot out for the old blues, and you'd go do these concerts and all anybody wanted to hear was the Yale songs. I think now it has to stand on its own as a musical entity that is trying to be excellent and do good work. And so I think it's harder.
There are people who have preconceived ideas, and there were plenty of them around, but they fell off a little at a time. Within a few years, that SATB group was really pretty spectacular. Nobody complained after that.
Fenno was careful to listen to the undergraduates and to respect their elected officers and managers. And he knew that the members of the Glee Club and the Women's Chorus wanted to merge. What was difficult for Fenno was that he also had a strong relationship, of course, with the alumni. And when we had house stays in the various cities we sang in, we would have to listen to the alumni complain about the women.
I would say more they marginalized us. We came to hear the Yale male voices, and what are you girls doing here? Did you go to Yale so you could get a husband? Those kinds of remarks.
My name is Ray Wells. Class of 1975. on tour my sophomore year. We were in Ohio, and the alumni there did what they did in the old days and arranged dates for the guys, which was particularly awkward when some of the guys in the Glee Club had girlfriends in the Glee Club.
We had to put up with not only who was dating who, but who just broke up with who. And so there were these mini dramas going on that you would have with a mixed chorus that you wouldn't necessarily have with an all-male chorus. It just made life more interesting, and actually it made the tours a lot of fun.
Joanne Weibel-Kant.
The Yale-Harvard Glee Club concert in 1970 up in Cambridge. Harvard would not let the women sing. They said that the women were not welcome to perform in the concert because the Harvard Glee Club was all male.
The world has gone bad today, and good's bad today, and black's white today, and inside today.
But we came along anyway, and we sat in the audience, and we sang the football medley in our alma mater along from the audience.
Though I'm not a great romancer, I know that you're bound to answer when I propose.
In the fall of 1972, one of the first concerts I ever sang was for the Harvard-Yale weekend. We went and rehearsed at Harvard, at the end of which we were given our assignments of who we would stay with for the night. Since I was from Boston, I was planning to stay with my parents, and a few of my friends were as well. But as they assigned housing to Yale students, slowly all the boys left the room and we were left with all the women. And Fenno asked their director, what about them? And the director said they shouldn't be here and walked out of the room.
I get a kick, though it's clear to see. You obviously don't adore me.
So a lot of people came and stayed at my parents' house, slept on the floor in the living room, and we had a fantastic weekend.
In my senior year, in the spring, as always, they held the Glee Club singing dinner at the Yale Club of New York. There was some question whether the women should be included or not, and this was one of the places where I kind of put some pressure on to say, look, if ever there was a time to start having women come to the singing dinner, this was the year we actually had some seniors who were women for the first time. So Fenno was persuaded to include the 7 women who were in the senior class, and we pulled up in front of the Yale Club, and the bus stopped about 20 feet short of the front entrance, and they had the women get out and go in the back entrance, which was where the women were supposed to go in, that little door next to the elevator lobby. And then the bus pulled forward and the men got to go in the front entrance of the Yale Club. Yeah. That was kind of disturbing to me. It was reminiscent of the way the colored water fountains were labeled in the South a generation earlier, which I had heard of course, but not personally experienced. We were being treated as second-class citizens, no doubt about it.
Mother of men, grown strong in giving, honor to them my life's happened.
My name is Tracy Ober, class of 1985. We never knew how to take the song Mother of Men and deal with it until we heard it at the 125th reunion, which was the first big reunion of the Yale Glee Club. When all of the men stood up, it was like 300 men singing Mother of Men. And oh my God, that sound was so powerful. And it was like, oh, that's what that song is about. It has nothing to do with men and women. It was just like I felt part of that force. I didn't feel apart from that.
Mother of Men.
My name is Karen Sherman, class of 1988. We were on tour, I believe it was a regional Yale club. A small group of male alumni, because of course they were male alumni, welcomed us in song. And they sang Mother of Men. But at a key moment, they changed the lyrics. Where it normally says, they changed it to "Be who our fathers loved before us, be who our sons and daughters hail." I probably stopped breathing. It told me that they were honoring the past and the present and future, that both were worthy of appreciation, of respect. The only thing that made me sad after that was that nobody said we should actually use that lyric and sing it going forward.
I always hoped that somebody would find a clever way to rewrite Mother of Men, but I understand that it has never been proved possible.
There was an attempt to rewrite Mother of Men as Parent of People.
We tried to turn it into Mother of Them. It didn't work.
My name is Jeff Dauma, and I have the extraordinary pleasure of serving as the director of the Yale Glee Club. We Meet Again Tonight was one of the most beloved Yale songs. I can't remember exactly when the group started singing it, but many, many decades ago. And the first line is, "We meet again tonight, boys, with mirth and song," which made perfect sense when everybody at Yale College, everybody in the Yale Glee Club identified as a male. But that's no longer what we sing, and I'm not actually sure when it started or what year it began, but the version that we sing now is, "We meet again tonight, friends."
I'm Laurie Ongley. I was Laurie Hasselman, class of 1981. When I was in graduate school, I conducted the freshman chorus for 1 year, and I insisted that we sing "We Meet Again Tonight, Friends," because it's a great song. We meet again tonight, friends. Let melody flow. But I wasn't going to have this coeducational freshman chorus, "We meet again tonight, boys." I'm delighted to learn that it's still "We meet again tonight, friends." When I look back now from a distance, it looks like Yale had been coeducational for a very short time when I got here in fall of 1977. But it was utterly normal for women to be here. Because Yale students are here for only 4 years. It had been 8 years. Well, that's two whole generations of students who'd come and gone. The pioneers were in 1969, 1970, 1971. By 1977, no students remembered Yale as an all-male bastion.
My name is Marty Brennan. I was class of 1987. 1985, the Glee Club was engaged in its annual winter tour, which was heading out to the Midwest. Several classmates of mine and I got in the car with an alum from the early 50s. He was very frustrated about this new Glee Club that allowed women into the group. This was a surprise because it had been 15 years since the Glee Club had gone co-ed. When Fenno did it, this particular alum vowed that he would never come here to the Glee Club again, that it was dead to him. 15 years after he had made that pronouncement, he came to his first Glee Club concert, and he had a good time, still grumbling a little bit on the ride back home, but acknowledging he had enjoyed the Glee Club.
We lost something and we gained something. I've had the experience of two careers, and that for me has been a very good thing.
After the Glee Club had been co-ed for quite a while, he would so often come out and say, "God meant it to be a mixed chorus." And he said that with all his conviction. He loved it. I think one reason was that the men, well, I can remember him saying this, the men became a lot easier to handle. He said, especially on tours, they behaved better. They did not throw beer cans out the windows, ever. Whereas before, maybe they did. He said women were a civilizing influence in every way.
I do still hear often from our graduates from the 1950s and the 1960s about how much they valued that experience of singing in an all-male ensemble. Of course, having come into this job decades after the beginning of coeducation, by the time I was on the scene, it was definitely a settled situation. I think nobody's talking about Yale College becoming an all-male college anymore, and nobody's talking about the Glee Club becoming a TTBB ensemble anymore.
Charlie Gates, class of 70.
Having women in the Glee Club and doing that together. It was a big step in the right direction of changing all male to male and female, together and better and stronger and more wonderful. That hopefully carries over to how I think about everything. The world we live in today is totally diverse. That's the future, and that's where we are.
The acceptance of women at Yale came because women proved themselves. We proved that we could perform as well as the men, get our own sports teams, do all the same classes that the men could do, and be integrated into the music as well.
Darcy Walker, class of 71.
The Glee Club was really important. All voices had a role to play, and therefore we had a right to be there. It really did provide a family and a sense of belonging and warmth within the campus that was often hard to find when it was just you and maybe the 20 women that were in your college with all the other men. The Glee Club really became a home away from home, a very close and cohesive group that bonded.
The poster for the 125th anniversary was done by Sandra Boynton, who was part of those first classes that were SATB in the Yale Glee Club. Announcing the concert, she had a big hippo wearing a Yale sweatshirt next to a bulldog wearing the same. And in very small lettering to the side was a little thought bubble that said, featuring singers from before and after the change in admission standards.
And now it's been 50 years. A whole new tradition has grown up.
I was probably one of the first or earliest women alumni to have a daughter in the Glee Club. I didn't force her to join, but she obviously knew what a wonderful time I had had. And it is a wonderful experience also being an alumni and being in a concert and being invited to come up and sing and wave your handkerchief.
My name is Julian Manresa, and I am a member of the Yale class of 2022. I think it's just wonderful to see the richness of the tradition and the history of the Glee Club. The school is over 300 years old, and this organization has existed for over half of Yale's history. There's this wonderful quote from Gustav Mahler. Tradition is not the worship of ashes, but the cultivation of a flame. And I think that tradition can grow to include different people. So just like Yale was at one point all male, and then it became co-ed, and then it started to include other sorts of minorities. It's all still the same university. It's just a university that has changed to include different groups because that's what a living tradition does if it's not a museum piece.
The formerly all-male Yale Glee Club, resurrected as a mixed chorus, performing Mahler's Resurrection Symphony with the Yale Symphony Orchestra in 1971. You've been listening to Time and Change, a three-part podcast celebrating 50 years of co-ed undergraduate singing at Yale, told by the people who lived it. Part 3 also included performances by the Yale Band and the Yale Alumni Chorus. Thanks to everyone who participated in this project and provided archival recordings. For a complete list of performers, interviewees, and repertoire, please visit the Yale Glee Club website. I'm Naomi Lewin, podcast producer and proud Glee Club alumna.